Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the McKinney Main Street Board Meeting. I will start to my right with a call to order, please. Karina.
Karina Velez.
Whitney Nash.
Kate McAnally.
O'Neil Perez.
Daniel Stanfill.
Michael Buchanan.
Lauren Smith.
Kim Black.
Jim Schwalz.
Okay, thank you. This is a public meeting. Is there anybody from the public that's wishing to speak? Nope. And we will start out with city liaison reports. Aaron, Barry.
Don't everybody jump at once.
Ray, Patrick. Okay.
Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Just a couple of quick things. Councilman Beller and I had the opportunity to meet with the McKinney Historic Neighborhood Association just a couple of weeks ago. You had a great representative there. Kim Black was there. And we got to update the residents on all of the many wonderful things going on in McKinney. We are now at about 238,000 people here in the city, which is just fascinating that we've grown so quickly. But we've got tons of projects that we've been working on, and so we updated on things like Old Settlers and Town Lake and all of the many wonderful things. So thank you, Kim, for being in attendance. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that Display Day is coming up for the city at the airport. This is a wonderful opportunity for residents to come out and look at aircraft. I didn't get to go to the last one here. Councilman Cloutier was there. I will be there this time because it's a ton of fun. But great time to bring the kids out and experience the airport there. And then lastly, I just wanted to mention that we will be having something called a Youth in Government Day. This is an initiative that started by Councilman Beller and I to engage the young people of McKinney. We are going to have a full day where they get to come to City Hall, they get to talk to the mayor, the city manager, all of the council, they get to experience all of the different departments, they're gonna have breakout sessions, and then we'll even have a mock youth council at the end of that day. So wonderful opportunity for kids to come along and see what it's like to be part of local government and hopefully stem their interest in being a participant either on the staff level or as an elected official in the future. So more information will be available very soon on that. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else on the city?
Councilmember Beller, not Beller, Beltis, checked off a number of my items, but I do have a few things I'll share with you. Just in addition to the display day that she mentioned, the airport is progressing. The building's glassed in, the parking and paving is nearing completion. Certification for the airport is ongoing, and we just yesterday cleared a couple major hurdles there, so we feel real positive on that. I was going to touch on the McKinney Half, but I'm going to let Andrew talk about that today. Also downtown, we have the demo of the old City Hall building and development services that'll be happening the week after Arts in Bloom. So we had a day this week where the fire department kind of set up our directors and gave them some axes and sledgehammers and let them take out some frustrations. So be looking for a very interesting video on that. Of people smashing things, so that's always exciting. Other things that are going on, the city has just implemented a short-term rental registration program. It made some news this week, and it just went into place, and it's a no-fee registration for our short-term rentals, so your Airbnbs and your VRBOs. That way we know where they are, and we actually have contact information for ownership. So, you know, we're mostly concerned with the negative impacts of those in terms of, you know, tenants throwing parties and leaving messes and things like that. This gives us the ability to know who owns each property and have a contact number for them. A couple things coming up very quickly. We do have a coffee with cops coming up on the 16th from 9 to 11 at Broken Yoke out in the Craig Ranch area on Alma Road. That is an opportunity for our citizens to sit down with our police officers and get to know them and build relationships that way. And then another thing that's probably on some people's radar because it's made a lot of positive news for the city is the fire department is starting what they call the Neighborhood Heroes Program. And this is a program to distribute AEDs across the community so that there will never be, you'll never be more than 4 minutes away from a, it's an automated external defibrillator. They're training people with the, you know, compression-only CPR, distributing the AEDs, and the goal is to increase survivability of cardiac arrests in McKinney. We've already seen some dramatic increases in our survivability, which is great. We want to make sure that we are a city that is safe for everyone, and we had a ceremony just last month where we met six people who survived cardiac arrest here, and they were able to thank the citizens who helped them and the firefighter paramedics who showed up to take over and transport them. So that was a great event. We hope to have more people surviving those types of tragic days. So that's a big program. It's made a lot of news locally and nationally. So it's something we're very proud of. With that, I'd stand for any questions on any other items with the city.
Any questions?
No, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Aaron Warner. Visit McKinney.
Okay, Visit McKinney. Aaron?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Director Jones, members of the board, Aaron Warner, Executive Director at Visit McKinney. Excited to be here with you guys this morning. Spring has kicked off fast and furious with all things around McKinney. We've hosted a lot of sporting events already this spring. The PPA Texas Open, last week the International Girls Cup soccer tournament. They had about 144 teams in town, and about 30% of those were, 60% of those teams were travel teams from outside of our region, which is always exciting to have new people. Of course, there was the half marathon, and I think Mr. Jones will touch on some of that. I'll just say one point that was kind of neat. We have a lot of really great runs and races in McKinney. Last night, we got official word that with the roster, there were 24 states and four countries represented in the run in McKinney out of those numbers. And so a really neat way to showcase downtown McKinney, I think, to a new audience and some fresh eyes. So one of the things we hear anytime we ever bring people to McKinney and they finally get that chance to step foot in downtown, there's always this moment, no matter who it is, of I had no idea McKinney, and then it's fill in the blank. You know, typically it's I had no idea McKinney had a downtown like this, or was this vibrant, or was this has this much growth and all these things. And so downtown really brings that, like, that special moment out for all of these visitors, no matter if it's sports or conferences or anything like that. And then, of course, we're super excited for Arts and Bloom this weekend. To me, Arts and Bloom is kind of that moment where McKinney gets to get outside, and you know, the nice weather and everything is here. And so I think it's a great moment for us as we kind of kick off that season. So kudos to the Main Street team and all the work that is ahead of you. And I'll stand for any questions. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thank you. Next dot.
MCDC.
Well, that's on the M group. We haven't actually called the M group.
Oh, okay.
item 260281, the M group reports.
You're right.
That's all right.
That's my fault.
Good morning, Chairman, Director, and Main Street Board. Thank you guys so much for everything you do. I know that this weekend is going to be a crazy busy weekend full of festivities, and it's actually one of my favorite events of the year, so I know that Andrew will not sleep this weekend, as well as his team, so thank you guys so much for all you guys do. We have our promotions grants coming up and are going to be due on May 30th. One of the things that we had for the first time is a new program called Amplify, so all of our promotions grants recipients are able to come collaborate, get together, and share best practices, as well as we, with the MCDC team, have pre-negotiated some amazing rates, some that are above and beyond anything that anybody would have ever been able to do on their own, so that when they go and spend those promotional dollars, it will go farther. Just a couple other things. Of course, we have some MCDC events that we have sponsored just this weekend. Arts in Bloom, our personal favorite. Farmers Market, Empty Bowls, which has moved to Tubbs, yep. really excited to see how that event will be going this year. And then, of course, a community concert. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you. Okay. Next item on the agenda, item 260282, the director's report. Andrew?
Yeah, it's a busy time, and I appreciate y'all's patience with our staff for kind of an abbreviated meeting today, because we do have to kind of get out of here and start sending out. So downtown sales tax, we saw a healthy increase in March. I think that was really great. We have some downtown development updates.
Just real quick, Andrew, yep, I'm sorry. On that sales tax, it was just so the increase. Do we have an idea, like, of the breakdown of the tax revenue between, like, restaurant and retail? Is there, does it get to that level, or do we know what's kind of driving that increase?
Great question. So we're not able to get that breakdown. Okay. The state doesn't like to have that shared in that granularity for a couple of reasons. It's already a very tight, geographic kind of capture. Mm-hmm. And when you get to that granularity, you can imagine how many... just pick on a manufacturing, for instance. How many manufacturers might be in that geographic area that would be displayed in that data? So they have they don't want to have that data shown in that granularity.
Okay, and then is the Highway 5, the east of Highway 5, the 23507, is
correct.
That in the 171, or that's in addition to?
It's in, yes. And this has been the fourth year that we've been tracking those numbers.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Or as at least calling them out. So we've always had those numbers. It's just separating them out.
I just wonder how much of that growth, the 8.94, is from Highway 5, or if there's east Highway 5, or how much.
Answer that question. I didn't include it for this time, okay. But east of Highway 5 did not see an increase.
Okay.
So. Some downtown development updates. I'm going to have a shout out to Graham here. I think in the last 3 weeks, we have met with over 30 or 40 merchants, business owners, property owners regarding the fire suppression system, but also there's been a lot of movement in downtown with spaces, a lot of expansions going on right now. It's been quite the haul lately, or quite the lift, I should say, for Graham and the team. McKinney Hat Company, we're excited to have a new location on the square proper, so that's really cool. McKinney Knittery is opening up a new concept, Stitch on the Square in the old Jasper and Petals location. There's a lot of spaces that look like they're currently vacant that are not, so I'll just say that, and there's a lot of things coming down the pipeline that we're really excited about that we can't really share at this point, but a lot of new business concepts that you'll see in the next month or so. I kind of highlighted a tree plan a while back. We are, the planters are arriving sometime next week, so we've already paid for those. We're going to be adding close to 10 new trees in downtown in large, very, very large planters. So we're very excited about that, adding some more green canopy. The website migration is complete, so we're very excited about that. That's a huge lift by Ryan over there. And shout out to Visit McKinney for their support in that. Art in the Hall and the Juried Art Show. Usually the Juried Art Show is held at Impact. This year it's going over to City Hall. We have some excellent entries. We're excited about this. It's going to take over kind of the Art in the Hall for about a month, and then Art in the Hall will resume after. We are in the midst of working with Tups, the Chupacabras, Visit McKinney on a lot of World Cup promotions, but needless to say, Tups is going to be kind of the home base where they're going to show every single game for the World Cup. They're going to have a some sort of pitch, like a mini pitch out there, which will be activated in really fun ways, so a lot of fun things coming for that. We're already gearing up for Texas Music Revolution. Headliners this year, Shane Smith and the Saints, Randall King, and then Kiefer Sutherland is actually coming out to perform, so that'll be exciting.
And don't miss William Beckman.
Yes,
either.
Yeah.
He is phenomenal.
I could go on, but the list of all the artists for this event are, would take a whole page, and they're all pretty phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The documentary, so if you remember at the very first Texas Music Revolution, there was a documentary filmed. That's set to release the week of Texas Music Revolution, so that first week in June. And it's going to be on streaming services. It's also going to be in theaters as well. It's really exciting to have that finally come out. It takes a long process to kind of get that movie released. So shout out to TMR and the whole team.
It's a really good story too. Yeah. It's more than just a documentary. It's a journey, and it's really uplifting.
Yeah.
It's not what you think.
Yeah.
It's really good. Yeah.
It's been fun. And the longer that it waits, the more they edit me out, so I'm very happy about that. I don't like to see that on the big screen. We have some wayfinding updates that are imminent, as well as a redesign of the shopper's guide. We have some trolley updates. We are currently testing a new route with the trolley where it kind of goes by City Hall. And we are also, we have added new drivers, and we have started testing Wednesday traffic. So we've been running the trolley on Wednesdays for about 3 weeks now. Okay. And we're currently working on a tracking solution for the trolley. And we're, I think, pretty close to doing some testing of that as well, so that you could have a QR code so you could see where the trolley is on the route, which would be really great because you could have QR codes at every stop. And if you can kind of get a sense of, oh, maybe if I walk a block, I could catch the trolley, or I know that it's going to come back in about 10 minutes or 15 minutes. So that's just going to give a lot of more utility for the trolley system, which we're excited about. And then last but not least, we had the historic half marathon. We had great attendance the first year, so we had over 4,000 runners. We estimate about 7,800 spectators. I don't know why I couldn't say that. For the historic half, setup was incredible. I don't know if you've seen any of the videos of the setup over here at City Hall and then over at Tufts, but you should look at their social media. Just look at some of those videos. It was pretty incredible. They basically came through downtown very early in the morning, so for a majority of downtown, I think it was relatively minor or no impacts. We did see some impacts for the farmers market. Made a really wise decision to extend the hours and kind of get some data, I thought. And they tested out a couple different things. They definitely found that some vendors did better than others, just like in downtown. You saw like the food vendors, that were right on the route. They did great. So I know O'Neill had a watch party, right? And you really activated the space. In the same way, the farmers market had winners and losers there, but our feedback to them is, hey, if we're going to do this, let's increase the capacity, let's max it out, let's get 10,000 runners instead of just 4,000, and then I think you'll see that overflow of people sticking around and really enjoying everything that downtown has to offer. I have a calendar here, and with that, I did include kind of a little race recap in your packet, so if you have additional questions there, it kind of has some of the pictures as well. With that, I'll sit for any questions.
Any questions? All right, thank you, Andrew. Next item, 260283, subcommittee updates. Nothing there. Regular agenda items, item 260284. Has everybody had a chance to review the minutes from the last board meeting?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is there a motion to approve?
I'll motion to approve.
I'll second.
All right. All approved? Okay. Kate had the first motion and Kim second.
Let me vote.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion passes. All right. The next item, 260285, consider and discuss financial reports.
Andrew and I had a chance to review the financials. You'll see that cash is pretty typical of what we were at last year. We do want to note that there's about $79,000 in reimbursements that we are still anticipate receiving. We do have the accounts receivables represents our Arts in Bloom invoicing and what we have there for future revenue. But all in all, you'll see pretty much a typical cash position from where we were at the same time last year. We do have a slight asset increase. We were able to purchase some significant things like planters, and we were able to do continued investment in the Richards Group and continued downtown advertising. As we look at our statement of activity, where those reimbursements are going to be held, the dash trolley is actually where the security reimbursement represented will be reflected for $15,000. Home for the Holidays will receive a $14,000 reimbursement, and the McKinney Christmas tree will receive a $50,000 reimbursement. So at this time, we are where we at, are where we expect to be, and if you guys have any questions, we're happy to answer them. Very good.
Questions? No. Thank you. Next, 260286, Downtown Marketing Initiative Update.
Yep, so just want to kind of give an update of where we are. We kind of did a small soft launch in February or March. I just want to kind of give a recap. You've seen this hopefully on all of our social media channels. We kind of had the toolkit, the brand toolkit was finalized, the social media launch. We introduced new graphics, containers, new styles for all the different posts, and lots of different campaign content. We aligned and kind of edited a lot of our future tastemaker videos. So we did went back to, as we continue to have new restaurant concepts, we highlight them with our tastemaker videos. We're incorporating this branding into those videos. And so we had some of those already pre-shot, and we kind of went back and we re-edited those to incorporate the new branding. We launched two new campaign videos. We finalized the new website and launched that about a couple weeks ago, and we implemented the new branding there. The social media ads, we have started those and those have been kind of very light right now as far as the Anything But Square campaign, because we're also advertising heavily for Arts in Bloom right now. So we created an influencer toolkit, which will be sent anytime that we bring an influencer on board. We're going to kind of give them a brand guidelines for that. What we're still waiting on, new downtown brochures. So those are going to be, they're in queue right now with our city marketing team. They're getting redesigned with the new branding. Pole banners, ground stickers, all that stuff is going to be coming out in the next couple weeks. So where we are with the overall brand, we anticipate a full launch this summer, June into July. So there'll be kind of a new landing page so that we can, as we have paid media, that it'll be kind of designed specifically for those guests on our new website. We'll finalize the paid media plan. We have an outline of a plan with TRG. We need to tweak that slightly. We have billboard and social media ads already kind of ready to go with that. We really want to hit the fourth quarter really strong, and so that's why we're front-loading all this during the summertime. Increase in paid media spend, we recommend kind of in line with what we did originally is about $100,000. We have the money in the account, and I think we need to activate it for the summer for this campaign. And according to with the kind of media guide that TRG presented to us, that focusing on that 30-mile ring around McKinney is kind of key. And then we'll also want to distribute a campaign toolkit to all businesses. So what you probably haven't seen in this that you're we had talked very heavily about a co-op program for downtown. And we've had a lot of one-on-one conversations with multiple businesses across the district about this kind of co-op concept. And what we were realizing is in those conversations is just the massive lift that it would require from staff, as well as there's not a lot of support right now for that concept with a good majority of our stakeholders right now. And when we were thinking about how much we were looking to raise, which is about $100,000. The amount of time and effort it would take to literally have conversations with pretty much every single business one-on-one, which we're kind of doing for, you know, like the fire suppression and other things. We just felt like it was a very heavy lift that we didn't really have capacity to handle right now. And I don't know if what the reality would be of people actually buying into the co-op as well. So we were going very far in this process, and this is when staff kind of came to me and they were like, you know, we're concerned on some of the feedback that we're hearing from our stakeholders and from some of the groups. The concern is how it's going to change the relationship with Main Street, you know, as well, because, you know, all the services that we do right now are basically free. We do them, and so it does change the relationship. And the amount of revenue that we would have raised to change that relationship didn't seem like it. It seemed incongruent with. So that's kind of staff's position on this. I would, you know, love to hear some feedback from the board. If we could raise, you know, maybe $500,000, I think it would be a different, like, the amount of effort for the return on it would make sense. But the amount of dollars that, you know, businesses were kind of willing to come in at was a lot lower than what we anticipated, frankly. So I want to kind of, you know, get some feedback there. I know Mike and you know, we've had a chance to kind of talk a lot about this, and you know, now based on the subcommittee, but love to hear other people's feedback on it.
So the $100,000 that you would be spending, is that generic advertising? How do businesses have strategic buy-in there? Or what does that look like?
Yeah, so what the recommendation from staff would be, that $100,000 would be from the money that we've invested,
sure,
in, you know, over the years. Now, there are some savings and there's like some overlap. So, you know, if we're spending, you know, $25,000 to advertise for an event, some of that, like as much of that as possible, is going to incorporate the Square This Anything But Square branding, if that makes sense. So there is overlap, and that we're able to kind of really expand kind of the reach.
So businesses won't use this branding package anymore?
Well, we will give that to them for free,
okay,
to utilize on their own. But what we're taking kind of off of, what we didn't see was really a lot of interest in coming alongside,
sure,
you know, Main Street to do a co-op kind of. You
got
know,
it. So Main Street won't leverage individual businesses.
No.
But they will give individual businesses the tools.
Correct.
So if,
yes,
they want to go leverage the same branding kit, they can.
Yes.
And absolutely, then you still have your monthly business meetings, your annual marketing workshops, and this could maybe be part of those talking points?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's just the dollars, as far as, like, you know, people were coming in and say, yeah, I'll do it for $50, right? But the amount of time it would take to actually maintain a program like that for like $50 to $75 a month was not, it just wasn't worth the effort in staff's opinion, the amount of time it would take. So,
did the feedback change this time versus, I don't know what was done prior to engaging TRG in regards to talking to those businesses about the co-op? Was there something that changed between then and now, or was there something about the marketing camp? Like,
yeah, I think it has more to do with the reality of when we start talking dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, conceptually, I think there was a lot of support for it, but in the actual implementation, when we said, okay, all right, I'm gonna auto debit, you know, $75 every month, what does that look like? That's when just there was a lot of fragmentation in how business owners felt like that needed to be spent. And there wasn't going to be, I don't feel like, I think we would have been setting ourselves up for failure, mm-hmm, to implement something that wasn't gonna match everybody's expectations, and then also kind of change the relationship that they, mm-hmm, have with Main Street as an entity as well.
So where does that put us in regards to funding for advertising going forward? Are we doing less advertising then because we don't have the co-op dollars? And but, like, or are we, do we need to, you know?
Yeah.
The plan there.
So my recommendation would be to take some of the cash that we've had in reserve and activate it this summer. So at least 100,000 of that. What we don't have is, you know, what would have been, you know, another additional 75 to 100,000 in, you know, contributions. We have internally talked about trying to get sponsorships that would come alongside and see if there's any kind of, because honestly, we could maybe, you know, conceptually, you could have, you know, raise $50,000 or $60,000 from sponsorship dollars and maintain maybe four or five relationships versus trying to maintain, you know, 100 relationships on an ongoing basis. So we are exploring that as well. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of support for sponsors on a advertising campaign if they're, you know, that would change how that works, you know, so there would have to be certain assets carved out for sponsorships.
So if we do 100,000, I don't know if that's this fiscal year or...
I think it would be this fiscal,
year, then what, we spent a lot of money on TRG, so I want to make sure that we're getting the full benefit of the campaign that I think all of us really like, so are we now forecast, like, additional monies in the next, you know, 1 to 5 fiscal years with this campaign, or how do we think about that?
Yeah, so the lifespan of this campaign is definitely, you know, 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
Since we implemented, so, you know, we just launched it last month, so I think we at least get 3 years out of this, and the amount that we ended up paying was around $79,000 for all the assets, right? So that came in a little lower than what we anticipated, and by taking off some of the, you know, by us taking on some more of the implementation of it, we've also been able to carve out some money from that. So $100,000 about, it would just be directly with ad spend. I think that that's, it's going to be tight as far as how sustainable that is.
Yeah.
It really depends on how well we do in Oktoberfest and other stuff like that. And I think it can be something where, you know, depending on how well we do financially would kind of change how much we contribute to that on an annual basis.
Okay. But we're thinking somewhere in the 50 to 100 range would be the best, like what we need to do to get benefit out of the program?
I would, yes.
Okay.
Well, two things that I want to consider. The sponsorship element, if we've worked so hard to develop a brand identity, do we really want to share that, right? I would be looking more at like a economic development value or like a Main Street value. Like, do we have some community fund to go to that wants to do this because of what it creates, like that historic group we had to go hang out with? I don't know that I want to share it with... No, they were lovely. They were lovely. I don't know that I want to share it if we've spent so much to develop our own creative.
Yeah.
So I would just be really cautious on how that brand really adds value to this strategy.
There's some low-hanging fruit that we talked about. I mean, like, if we did an activation, like an on-site activation in downtown, for instance, and it was more like an interactive, there would be some signage there. Think about, like, the Christmas tree.
Okay.
You know, like, their signage there could be branded. You know, we'll have to create that, and we have the ability to kind of create some assets that we would then go out for sponsorships. So,
is there the possibility? Sorry, just
I'm not. Love the feedback.
We spend the $100,000. It's well received. That we could go back out to the businesses to see if to continue to fund this. That they might want to put up just a lump sum for the year, or is that just sort of a non-starter?
I would not take that off the table. Yeah, okay. I mean, I think that's possible. You know,
I mean, if the question is whether we can fund it or not, you know what I mean? Do people still want to continue that? But maybe I get the whole dynamic has changed. But
part of what we're recognizing, too, is we have a brand new set of graphic assets and themes. So if we don't get them out there immediately, we don't want to slow bleed this so that from now, the guy will have heard the campaign that we start. So I think what we're looking at is a catalytic type of investment to then see what the sustainable investment could be. Mm-hmm. But if we don't release the assets this summer to get people to come in with their flexible weekend time and summertime, then we maybe won't know what the value of it is long term, I
right.
think.
No, totally supportive of the launch.
Yeah.
Did TRG have a perspective in terms of how the co-op works?
They gave us, you know, we had a lot of conversation with TRG about how the framework of the co-op can be, you know, structured. But where I saw kind of a difference is when we started talking with some of our businesses. Mm-hmm. Again, the dollar amounts that they're willing to contribute were just so low, and the expectations were very high, right? And so it's like, I want to, for $50 a month, get my own branded, you know, marketing, you know, assets out there. And it wasn't that, there was a mismatch, right? Like, that wasn't going to be possible, especially with, you know, kind of a relatively small team to execute it. So, and then we did get some estimates from TRG to active, like, to manage the co-op portion of it. And I think that just added a lot of extra layer of cost to the project as well. So, you know, think about an additional $5,000 minimum a month that doesn't go to ad spend, just to manage a co-op portion. Mm-hmm. And then if we're raising, you know, only $10,000 to $20,000 a month, is that a good use of the dollar? So those are some of the kind of pinch points when we put real numbers behind the concept of the co-op. I think, you know, there just wasn't the interest as what we had hoped. Mm-hmm. So, and part of it was like, you know, you don't have the assets, so you're talking about this in a concept. Now that we have the assets and they understand how this is going to be rolled out, then I think it, you know, that reality kind of changes. So I guess to your question a little bit is like, when they see it, that's like, great, but I want, what we heard is they really wanted their own brand on this mm-hmm. package. And they weren't willing to really contribute very much unless they had that branded, you know, fully branded package. And we know, and we had the price for that fully branded package for their own brand, it would, you know, be close to $1,000 a month at mm-hmm. that level, right? Mm-hmm. So TRG could design stuff, but it was just too high. So, you know, we wanted our cake and eat it too, right? So I think that's common across lots of fronts. So I think, you know, to your point, launching it, having a chance, there are some, maybe it's just restaurants, right, that are already advertising. We come back and with a, you know, to continue the message. That might be an option. I don't know what the appetite there is for that, but.
Okay. Right. Anything else? Marketing initiatives? Okay, thanks, Andrew. Item 260287, consider and discuss upcoming events. I think you hit most of those. Is there anything else, Andrew?
Just one thing. We are so Arts and Bloom, we have a lot of really cool new things scheduled. We have the art demo stage is coming back. We're highlighting all of our local arts organizations, but we also have a competition stage this year. So we had some fun video already out on social media. Thanks to Graham and the team.
Yeah, great job.
So they'll be having a you know, a clay kind of hand building contest on Saturday. We are monitoring the weather for this weekend. So fortunately, Friday and Saturday look great at this point. Sunday looks really bad. and knock on wood, you know, I hope it doesn't materialize. But when you have, you know, close to 200 artists with their art filled with these tents that can't handle a certain threshold of weather, we may make the decision to cut Sunday. I would hate for them to leave their stuff in the tents, come back on Sunday morning, and have to just take everything out in really bad conditions, right? Because that's not good for their art. It's not really, you know, the event won't really probably move forward. So We won't make that call until Saturday morning, but we have already, Gregory's already working on a contingency plan on how we're going to execute that if we need to make that call. So it's too early to say. It's weather in Texas, so a lot can change.
Okay, thank you. This is a public meeting. Are there any public comments regarding matters not on the agenda? I don't think so. Any board member comments?
One comment, I guess, just in that vein of weather. I know we've talked about Oktoberfest before. If maybe we could revisit that at a future meeting. Sort of insurance.
The insurance?
Yeah.
Yeah. To that point, typically we do insure, we choose not to insure this event just because of the way the finances of this event are very different from other events. For this one, most of our revenue comes from the booth fees. And so those are kind of a flat cost, and you know, we have 200 artists. And we typically do not insure Sundays. In the past, we haven't historically, just because that is our lightest day. It's, you know, a smaller portion of the overall 3-day event. So,
but it is growing. Sunday is growing.
Sunday is growing, yep. Mm-hmm. But, so when we get to Oktoberfest, typically we have heavily insured Friday and Saturday, but have not insured Sundays, just as a cost kind of consideration. But we'll have that conversation.
Yeah, awesome.
All right. Anything else, Jim?
I had two. I mentioned before the lighting around where the library is closed, and I think there's some problem with getting it lit, but we continually get some conversation that people leaving late at night and it's dark on those streets up there.
I do have some feedback there. The lights around the library itself are connected to the library, and for the construction project, those won't be, they're not able to be lit.
And I just think that that's still a safety issue is why I mention it again and everything. And then the second thing is that we've had a lot of discussion about bathrooms. And, you know, there's one bathroom, and it's on the southwest corner, and it's, you know, it's far removed from everything on the north side or the northeast side of the square. And so perhaps alongside of the old City Hall Council meeting building, some of those parking spaces that are right on the street could be used, or where you used to go in and pay your utility bill, that building's closed, and so is the next one next to it, and perhaps for an interim period of time, a couple of those parking spaces could be used to help alleviate that concern. I know sometimes we have a line and everything at the mall because the adjacent businesses don't, and then they'll say, well, go to the antique mall. They have a bathroom. And it's true, we have one, but it's really not meant for public and everything. So we just seem to catch some of that.
Well, that's great feedback. When we looked at the location, you know, we were going to say, hey, after 2 or 3 months, we're going to evaluate that anyway. And we're kind of already at that point. The old City Hall and Development Services, those are going to be demoed starting next week. And so those whole sites are going to be actually barricaded.
But part of the street could be
potentially
a barricade in between the back of the same building used over there could have a barricade built in between that building and the construction site. And then the other one that I mentioned was where you paid your utility bill.
Yeah.
And when you went into that building, it's vacant and sitting there. And so there's 2 or 3 parking spots right there that one or two of those could be used. And it's could help alleviate the restroom concerns for the north side of the square as well as the east.
Yeah.
But just 2 suggestions.
Just out of curiosity, so when we started this, you know, there was kind of some hand-wringing on our staff on bathroom locations. Do you think there would be any appetite of moving it, on the square proper, where, you know, off of, I mean, now that you see it in reality, I don't know if, you know, it's not a portable, it's not like a porta-potty, right? So I don't know if there's appetite for that, but.
Well, that's why I mentioned those 2 locations, because you're talking about that building that's there now is 1 parking space, basically, or maybe a parking space and a half. And there's alongside of that whole side of the street there on Tennessee, north side of Tennessee, there's easily 6 spots that are right out in front of not used properties. And you could go over on the west side of the street on Tennessee, and you could also get there in front of the old Development Services building, you know, because those they're not used. They're closed. And you could barricade off and have security for the construction and just the input that I'd have for that. Figured is, if I'm going to mention it, I better mention solutions.
Yeah, so, well, I appreciate
trying
it.
To do both.
I don't know if there's any other thoughts on that. Just
well, it would make sense to have restrooms available, you know, in both sides of the square. I mean, I understand that. That makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how we would let people know where they are if they're set that far off. We've got so much traffic near on the south side, they're visible. Mm-hmm. On the north side, especially with the demo coming, there's not a lot of traffic up there. Would anybody know that they're there? I mean, is it convenient? Yeah. But is there enough traffic up there that they're going to get utilized?
Yeah, well, the businesses will get the questions of, can we use your restroom, and we can point them
that's towards fair. The public. There you go. That's
and we
fair.
Get the questions.
You're right.
Could some of the, like, there's a whole row of parking taken up around, you're saying, on the square proper, on, like, the east side of the courthouse?
I couldn't do it in there. That's where they're, there's trucks going in and out all the time, and that's kind of
their staging area,
and they... unfortunately, they have to have a staging area, and you know, there's a lot of movement in that area. I wouldn't want to have, you know, the public going into that area. So I think it would be taking away further spots somewhere along, you know, the outside. So that's ultimately why we chose not to do that on the square proper. But, you know, I think they're all, you know, it's nothing's optimal right now for it. But we'll look at options and come up with some costs there, Jim.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you to the Main Street team. This is going to be a great weekend. I know it's a lot of work, and I appreciate all you do. Is there a motion to adjourn? Jim is first.
I minute. Second.
Jim seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We're adjourned.